Psalm 139, page 628 in the Red Church Bibles. We're going to read it together. All set? O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's just pray. Lord, I ask for your strength, and for your insight, and for your calmness now, as we come to your word, and I pray that we may be receptive to your spirit, searching us and finding us, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's that little phrase which is in Psalm 139, and it is a beautiful psalm, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully. I don't know if you would sum up your life so far as being in that little golden nugget expression, fearfully. Why? Because in truth, life is very fragile. Fearfully. We know God is there, but sometimes the challenges of life are huge. And then wonderfully, and the psalm here tells us that we are made wonderfully. There are some beautiful pieces in this scripture. The way in which God knows us, even before conception. And then as conception has taken place, as God, using the processes that he has knit into his natural world of forming a baby inside a mother's womb, as that takes place, We are wonderfully made. And so much study, which is beyond my remit of how babies pick up all that is going on, even outside the womb, as well as inside. They pick up what is going on emotionally within the mother, and indeed that's passed on through the father. And the way that God uses all of that in the creative process, that he knows us, and we are not an accident. As we are being formed, as we are being created, that the way in which he makes us is by his intent. And it is not haphazard. It is planned and it is perfect. And this psalm reminds us that each part is part of God's purposes and plans for our life. Don't know if you can remember where you were born. As we drive through Weymouth from time to time, I point out to the children, "That's where I was born!" All right. It's not hospital anymore, is it? And I don't know if your mum would have shared with you, you know, stuff that, well, you were born at 6:43. Anybody got that down to precise detail? Yes, excellent. In a doodle bug. What? Yeah. Okay, we're going again. But there is much that is wonderful and fantastic about the way in which we were brought into the world. God creates us fearfully and wonderfully. And you know, our culture today, our secular culture, our society often wants to paint that as an accident. That's why so many young people are being brought up with a sense of worthlessness, because they are given the idea that somehow that is all accidental. That is so far from the truth, that God creates us just at the right time, just at the perfect time, just at the perfect place. We are brought into God's world. God creates us fearfully and wonderfully. The second thing I think this psalm brings up to us is that even though that is true, as we grow up as children, that things can be both a blessing and a distortion as we grow up as children and as we are parented. Let me read to you a piece from Numbers, the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 14, and this goes from 17. This is quite a significant verse. "Please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you've claimed. For you said, 'The Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. But he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected, even children in their third and fourth generations. In keeping with your magnificent unfailing love, please pardon the sins of this people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt.'" The key verse I want you to focus in on there is that the sins of the parents is passed upon the children, and the entire family is affected, even children in their third and fourth generations. Now, for some of you, this, you might say, "I know this," but this might be new to you. In Christian teaching and in Christian doctrine, there is a huge understanding of the family tree. That what happens in our family, in one generation, in another generation, is often passed down to us. Emotional things, psychological things, things that happen have an effect upon who we are and who you feel that you are today. And whilst all of us are affected by powerful external events and circumstances through our earthly lives, our families of origin are the most influential group to which we will ever belong. So what happened to your mum, and what happened to your dad, and what happened to your grandmum, and what happened to your grandfather, all of that is very pertinent. And when we're looking to see how people are made whole and how restored in Jesus' name, drawing out your family tree is vital to understanding the traumas and the challenges that took place. A breakup in the family. A divorce, a misunderstanding where no one ever speaks to one another again. All these things are crucial. And even those who leave home as young adults, who are determined to break with their family histories, soon find that their family's way of doing life follows them wherever they go. And there are family patterns from the past that are played out in our present relationships without us necessarily being aware of. That's why today you will find it's common to talk of families being falling apart and families being unstable. And family history is inside all of us. Not one of you here today is exempt from the fact that whatever your family tree is, that has played a part to make you who you are today, good, bad, or indifferent. And you can choose to bury it, of course. And maybe your mum or your dad chose to bury it. Or your grandparents chose to bury it. The trouble is that trauma is there under the surface. And if you understand what this psalm says, and you understand all the research that's happened about babies in the womb picking up what's going on, you will understand that some of that you too will have picked up when you were a baby in the womb. So you see, behaviours are learnt by us. If you sit down for a minute and you ask yourselves, why do I do what I do? Why do I respond the way that I do? Why do I act the way that I do? You need to understand that most of that is learnt behavior. You learnt that from people around you. You learnt it from your mum. You learnt it from your dad. How you reacted to circumstances now. Whether you go through flight or fright, all of that is learned behavior. There are good memories and there are bad memories in each and every one of us. There are wounds and there are insecurities. Do you know what one of my biggest insecurities is? I had no control over it, but it big time affects me now as an adult. It was when my mum and dad, who were busy running restaurants in summertime for 40 years in Weymouth, decided that they couldn't really have me around because they were so busy. So they had a long lost friend in the south of France, who I didn't have a clue who they were. And Sam would really enjoy going to the south of France for the summer. Oh, you'll be flown there. Off you go. Goodbye. And it wrecked my life. It was one of the most horrible times. I was with people I never knew. And I was so homesick. And from the moment I got there, I thought, this is a lovely south of France beach. It's beautiful, but I feel I want to be at home. And ever since that time, that memory has dominated my life to the point that it is often controlling my behavior patterns. So, all these things get picked up. For example, rejection. You might have experienced rejection in your life. And the way in which you were rejected has a way in which it shapes your behavior now. It can show up from your parents too, that if they suffered rejection, that gets brought out to you more often than not in the way that you react to situations. And the deep feelings by your parents, the feelings that they had, if you went through divorce, if you went through separation, if you went through a loss of a baby, if you went through any kind of major kind of trial, if you had a situation where the family was cut apart, all that can pick up and project on your life today. You know, one of the biggest things about hitting middle age is that you spend the first 40 years of your life without a care or a whim, and then suddenly all these things come out to you in middle age. If you've not hit it, you will. If you're past it, thank God. But if you haven't dealt with it, you need to. I discovered not so long ago that one of our big family issues was that both of my parents had lost their fathers very young in age. That has had a big effect on me, and I would imagine upon my brothers. I don't know how they're dealing with it. I've never spoken to them yet. My mother lost her father in a very young age, and because it wasn't the thing that was happened, she wasn't allowed to go to the funeral. Does that affect you? Boy, it does. Does that project on your children? Boy, it does. I discovered not so long ago that my dad also, well, actually I've known this for some time, but I've never really understood the effect it's had, that he lost his dad when he was in his early teens. You know, a study of how children and young people grow up, you will know that just at the right point, teenage life, they need their dads more than anything else. They don't need them at the office, and they need them around at home. Dad lost his dad, and it changed forever the way he was. His emotions were locked up, and remain locked up. And I looked into this. And Dad went off to Army College just before World War II to train as an officer. And actually, do you know what they taught? They taught you at Army College. They taught him to never trust anybody. To never trust anyone out. As World War II opened up, he used to be taught to be very, very careful and confidential, to always have his weapon on him. Did that have an effect on us as a family? You bet, because the way that Dad lived the rest of his life shaped us as a family. He never shared his emotions with us. He never shared what he felt. If you're a dad today, you need to share how you feel with your children. You need to say to them that you love them. And all of these things, as we study what happened in our childhood, this psalm says, go forward to shape the way that we are today. One writer has said that if we're going to grow spiritually, we need to go back before we can go forward. You say, I want to go on with God. You cannot go forward until you've gone into your past and before God sorted out what struggles you have. That might be a bereavement. That might be a family separation. That might be a sexual innuendo or a sexual breakup that took place in your family. That might be an abuse, a child abuse situation. All of these things shape the way that you are today. That might be pornography. These things go very deep. That might be a physical disaster that took place. That might be the fact that your mum never said to you, I love you. The same applying to your father. And even the very worst, most painful family experiences become part of our total identity. Do I behave differently because of all those things that happened to me? You bet. But I can go back with the help of professionals and with God's healing to understand who I am today and know God's peace. This psalm finishes by saying, examine yourself, search me. That's a prayer to pray to God. Search me. In other words, you're saying to God, why do I do what I do? Find me out. Do you ever catch yourself doing something really peculiar? Does somebody knock you by a behavior pattern and you go, and you suddenly explode with anger? That can be because somebody just touched a painful memory. A continual and repeating behavioral pattern needs to be challenged. You know, some of you, I've watched it over the 13 years I've been your pastor, and some of you simply say, I am the way that I am. You know, that's the biggest mistake you can make. It's the biggest lie that Satan has sold to us. We simply have a decision to make. I can, you can, make a decision to address these things and before God change the way that we live and react to what happens. Our behavior patterns from the past can be healed and can be restored. I want to just read to you one example of that. It's a piece of fiction, but I think it's a very telling piece of fiction. This is the story of Miss Havisham from Charles Dickens' novel Great Expectations. The summary is like this. The daughter of a wealthy man, she received a letter on her wedding day at 8:40 a.m. that her husband was not coming. Husband-to-be was not coming. At that point, she stopped all the clocks in the house at the precise time the letter arrived and spent the rest of her life in her bridal dress. It eventually turned yellow. Wearing only one shoe, since she'd not actually put on the other one at the time of the trauma and the disaster that took place. And even as an old lady, she remained crippled by the weight of that crushing blow. It was as if everything in the room and house had stopped. And she decided to live in her past, not her present or the future. Are you stuck in the past by a painful situation that you have chosen not to face up to and not to resolve? Some of you I know, that is the case. What about sinful activity? Because that too can hold us back. What about some of the big sins? Maybe you say, well, it's in the past. Didn't tell anyone about it. Secret. No one needs to know about it. If someone was to know about it, they'd be hurt. So the best thing about sin is to bury it. That's a lie. Be sure that our sins will find us out. What example does that set to our children? You know, that kind of behavior, and if you're carrying out sinful activity now, you need to stop that. And you need to seek help. These things can damage our family tree. These things can damage our children. They can distort them. And we must own the responsibility for that. And as I said just a minute ago, when we engage in that kind of activity, our natural cry is to say, well, you know, it's just the way I am. I was brought up to be a sexual person, so I'm going to be the way that God has made me. Well, actually, he gives us free will. He gives us choice. And if we say to all kinds of activity like that, well, it's just the way I'm made, you know, you're making two big mistakes. First of all, you're saying that most of the way we behave and act is learnt behavior, and therefore we've learnt it from someone else. Yeah, but you're actually putting the blame for that with someone else. Secondly, you are saying that you will never be changed and healed before God. And that's the biggest problem. Because you're unwilling to allow the wound to open up. If you've mucked up, if you've sinned, and we all do it, you need to ask yourself, why did that happen? What inner drive, what inner passion is driving me to make these kind of things? And I'm almost finished, but I want to say this. If you are struggling with these things today, the best thing in this healing service that you can do is to make a decision to not do anything else but seek help. And the decision is to not stay as you are, but to be helped by someone else and to know God's healing power and to break from the past. Do you know, it's a sad situation that many of us can't be bothered with that. Many of us are just satisfied with the status quo spiritually. We come here Sunday by Sunday, and it doesn't change. What it needs is a decision to say, I will do nothing else until I change with God's help. Finally, this. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, walk everything in the light. Let me just read it to you. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous and will forgive us our sins. You see, to properly allow God's healing power is to say that last word in this psalm, two words, search me. Thomas Keating compares God's work in us to a Middle Eastern archaeological site. Now, some of us might feel like that each day you get up. I'm an archaeological site today and things are falling off. But Thomas Keating says this: our lives are as if one civilization is built on another, hurt upon hurt. He says this: archaeologists excavate level by level, culture by culture, down through history. The Holy Spirit is like a divine archaeologist digging through the layers of our life. Let me just read this quote to you, and then I'm finished, and then we'll be having opportunity for prayer. The Spirit intends to investigate our whole life history, layer by layer, throwing out the junk and preserving the values that were appropriate to each stage of our human development. Eventually, the Spirit begins to dig into the bedrock of our early emotional life. Hence, as we progress towards the center where God is actually waiting for us, we're naturally going to feel that we're getting worse. And boy, oh boy, let me just say, when you do this, when you start to look in your past, it often feels as if it is getting worse. This warns us that the spiritual journey is not a success story or a career move. It's rather a series of humiliations of the false self. You know, the one thing that we can often say about church life on a Sunday morning is that we love hiding behind masks. So I ask you this morning, what false self are you struggling with? What would you want to lay before God? What would you do if the Spirit was to say to your door as he knocks on your door, I want to begin that process of searching you? The psalm finishes, let me read it to you again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. If you are serious with going and growing on with God, I encourage you today. In fact, I exhort you more than anything else. Shout out for help and get some help to change and grow with Christ, who is your healer. Now, we have opportunity this morning for prayer ministry. There are going to be four prayer points around the church, and the prayer team is ready for that. And I want to just say this to you this morning. We are not a doctor's surgery. In other words, when you go to the doctor, you sit before the doctor and you spend 5 minutes telling him what's wrong with you. And then your eyes light up as the doctor mysteriously turns to that green pad or taps what is now a computer keyboard, and you walk away with a piece of paper from the printer and you say, that's it, I'm sorted. That's not how we do prayer ministry here. So when you come forward or backwards or wherever the prayer teams are, please don't spend any time saying, I'd like this for prayer, I'd like that for prayer. You don't need to, because the psalm tells us that God knows everything. God knows it all. So all I ask you to do today is come forward, or backwards, or sideways, wherever they are, and simply say, God, bless me. Simply ask the people who are there to pray, all I want is for you to pray for God to bless me. And if you make that request, God will bless you in whatever way he sees fit and appropriate for you. So we don't need to pray, Lord, bless my toe. Lord, bless my right ear. Because God has got it covered. So this morning, as we begin that prayer ministry, whether you have something outward that's obvious, or actually whether it's all hidden deep in your emotions, or whether actually one of those key moments from your childhood or one of those key traumas in life is actually holding you, just lay it before God. That's code for saying, I don't want to hear loads of da 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 da. What I want to see this morning is God doing the business. All you have to say is, I just want this prayer team to pray for me that God will be blessed. So here it is. We're going to put a bit of music on. I think they might be sorted. If the prayer teams would like to move into their sideways, lateral, vertical, or horizontal positions. And it really doesn't matter this morning whether the whole church is prayed for. The prayer teams are only going to spend about 4 minutes each. They might have you standing up so they can pray for the Spirit to be upon you, whichever way they like. Let's pray. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Try me and know my mind. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring your healing power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.